Beratungsbereich. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we are reading 11th canto, chapter 25, and verse number 6.
Sannipatastvaham iti mameti uddhavayamati vyavahara sannipato mano matrendriyasubhi sannipatastvaham iti mameti uddhavayamati vyavahara sannipato mano matrendriyasubhi.
Please chant.
Sannipatastvaham iti mameti uddhavayamati vyavahara sannipato mano matrendriyasubhi. Sannipatastvaham iti mameti uddhavayamati Sannipatastvahamiti mameti uddhavayamati vyavahara sannipato mano matrendriyasubhi.
Thank you. Word. Sannipata, the combination of the modes. Aham iti. I. Mama iti. Mine. Uddhava. Uddhava. Ya. Which. Mati. Mentality. Vyavaraha. Ordinary activities. Sannipataha. The combination. Manaha. The mind. Matra, the objects of perception. Indriya, the senses. Asubhi, and the vital airs. Translation. My dear Uddhava, The combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. The ordinary transactions of this world, which are carried out through the agency of the mind, the objects of perception, the senses, and the vital areas of the physical body are also based on the combination of the modes. The illusory concept of I and mine occurs by the mixture of the three modes of nature. A person in goodness may feel I am peaceful. One in passion may think I am lusty. And one in ignorance may think I am angry. Similarly, one may think my peace, my lust, or my anger. One completely absorbed in the mentality of being peaceful could not work in the material world. He would lack any impulse to perform any activity. Similarly, one absorbed in lust would be blinded without at least a tinge of peacefulness or restraint. One overwhelmed with anger could not function properly in the material world without the mixture of other qualities. Thus we find that the material mode does not occur in a pure, isolated form, but rather is mixed with other modes, thereby making possible normal functioning within this world. Ultimately, one should think, I am an eternal servant of Lord Krishna, and my only possession is loving service to the Lord. This is the pure state of consciousness beyond the material modes of nature.
Maharaj, aapki anumati se aur aashirwad se.
So in this chapter is called the three modes of material, three modes and beyond. It's about the modes of material nature. It's interesting that this one chapter is dedicated to the three modes. But we see that even last week we were hearing about the modes of material nature. I specifically remember Mother Nanda, she had a whole visual thing here about the three modes and how from different modes one go up and down. All throughout the Bhagavad we see the modes are described. Similar in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, there is one chapter dedicated to the modes of material nature. But we see the modes are there all throughout the Bhagavad Gita. In the very first chapter, Krishna doesn't really speak anything except he says behold the great army. But in the second chapter he started speaking, we see that he is Bharat, the modes of material nature, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtagunya Bhavartya, he says to Arjun that rise above the three modes of material nature. And then throughout you will see in the Bhagavad Gita there is the modes of material nature. Certainly it's an important topic. But I was thinking how important this is. I remember last week Dravida Prabhu was here and he quoted the verse twice. Janma Dasya Yataha, the first verse of the Bhagavatam. And Pangunda Prabhu had asked this question about which is the more important verse, Janma Dasya Yataha or Eti Cham Sakala Pumsa or Aham Eva Sam Aham Agre. The point is here that we see in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, The three modes come there in the very first verse, introduction. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinivyo yatra trisargo misha, trisargo. If you're introducing here, actually Vyasadeva is offering obeisances to Krishna. And in that verse, he's bringing the modes of material nature. Something to think about, how important these modes of material nature is. If you see any book, whatever is written in the introduction, certainly it's very significant, extremely significant, that something is described in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam. So why is, I mean, if you think about it, the modes are all pervading. We understood from last chapter the previous verse that how, I think Nagarjuna was giving class, that how in the material nature,
When Krishna glances on material nature, the three modes of material nature are activated. So it's the root there, it's in the very start, that we are bombarded by the modes. I was thinking about, sometimes people think we're being bombarded by the aliens, like modes coming at you. You kind of visually think you come into being and all these modes bounce on you. And this is what it is like, the modes. And here, in the Bhagavad Gita, we see how different everything, like our food, where we live, what we wear, how we think, everything is according to the different modes. But here we're seeing the commentators are saying that even the concept of I is also affected by the three modes. I never thought about that. When we say I, it's affecting, different modes are affecting our expression, our thinking of I. So let's analyze that. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the different varnas are according to the modes. Let's examine the Kshatriya Varna. It describes Shauryam, Tejo, Daksha, Yudhe, Chapya, Palayana. It describes what a Kshatriya thinks. So if you're a Kshatriya, you're thinking, I'm a Kshatriya. Yudhishthira Maharaj, let's see, he's thinking, I'm a Kshatriya. And so is Bhima, he's thinking, I'm a Kshatriya. And so we understand that certain modes, again, we're talking about the story level. We understand that they're higher position on the Adidavic platform. We're just talking about the story level, the Adibhatic platform. We see that if Yudhishthira Maharaj thinks, I'm a Kshatriya. You can see how different that is compared to Bhima thinking, I'm a Kshatriya. When Draupadi's sons were killed and Ashwatthama was brought and ready to be killed, we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was a Kshatriya, and Bhima, who was a Kshatriya, They thought totally differently how to take care of this Ashwatthama, who should be killed according to Bhima and according to Yudhishthira Maharaj and Draupadi. So the concept of I for a Kshatriya, we're seeing the same family member, they're brought up by the same, raised by the same people, everything the same. But yet the concept of I for Yudhishthira Maharaj and Kshatriya was very different from the concept of I of Bhima. You can kind of see Yudhishthira Maharaj was more in the mode of goodness, and Bhima was more in the mode of passion. Although we do know as Kshatriya has to be passion. But you can see Yudhishthira Maharaj was in the rule. He is more in that mode. He's affected more by the mode of goodness, and Bhima more in the mode of passion. Again, we understand that they're on the transcendental level, but just on the story level, we see that is the case. And similarly, you can see, not only that, these are Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhima. You see, even a Kshatriya child is also affected, thinks differently. Look at Dhruva Maharaj. He was a five-year-old boy. And think about his conception of I as a Kshatriya. We think that maybe children are not affected by modes of material nature. But no, it's from time immemorial. Dhruva Maharaj was a child. And you know how many times we chastise the child, or how many times we do different things, or children amongst themselves, they're affected, but they say mean things to each other. But the concept of Guru Maharaj, of that I, was so strong that even when Narada Muni told him, listen, you're a child. You should just go and not worry about all this. You go and play. But he said, no, I'm sorry to say, but that's fine. Your words are fine, but not for me. I need to take care of this. And so we see that even in young age, the aspect of I, me, mine, who am I, who am I, is very strong. I mean, we can think for ourselves. When we think about I, and what does that mean? To what extent, how are we affected by the modes? So these modes are just, in some sense, rooted in us. How do we get out of these modes? Well, our acharyas, give us the light, guiding us all the time, how to solve our problems, how to go beyond our problems. And so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as probably by this time you know, I love Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans. He sings in his bhajan that helps us to understand how we can go beyond these modes that are so deep rooted. And I was thinking like a banyan tree, the roots are so deep. How could we uproot these modes, or can we uproot, or what is the way? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings,
Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor arpitua pade nanda kisho.
Manasa, the mind. Yesterday Madhakasi was saying that the modes of material nature affects our mind. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Manasa deho geho, my mind, my body, my family, whatever I have. Arpilutva pade, oh Nandakishore, I offer at your lotus feet. This is what he says that he is doing. And this goes along with what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks him this question, all the questions that we have, being asked by Arjuna, and all the answers are given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Katam etan gunan ativartate, or something like that. How can I go beyond these modes of material nature? And Krishna says, Mamcha yogya bhicharena bhakti yogena sevate saguna sampiya samatitya brahma bhuyaya kalpate mamcha yo avya bhicharena. One who worships me with bhakti yogena, unfailingly, he specifically says, that's how you can go beyond these modes. So how can we go beyond these modes? Krishna is clearly saying, by bhakti. And our acharyas are explaining to us, what does bhakti mean? Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor. That bhajan is so beautiful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further ahead says there,
Kita janma hoy yatha tu adas bahe mukha bama janme nahi aas.
Kita janma hoy, I may have a birth of an ant, doesn't bother me. What I want is I could be your servant, even if I don't want to take a birth of a Brahma who is averse to you. It's not that he's saying I don't mind taking a birth as Brahma. Because Brahma is a great devotee, but if Brahma is not a great devotee of you, I do not want to take a birth like that. I have no desire to do so. I rather take a birth as an ant. And in the further verse, he says, Bhupi Mukti Spriha. What is the Pangam in the room? Dina?
Bhakti.
Oh, that's right. Vihinaya Bhakti.
Bhakti Mukti Spriha. Vihinaya Bhakti. Labhaite.
He says that I would like to have an association of that devotee who is free of mukti, desiring to enjoy the material world. That is how we can go beyond this modes of material nature. So certainly Srila Prabhupada has come here to help all of us to go beyond these three modes of material nature. We see that Srila Prabhupada not only came himself, but for somebody like myself, he has given everybody, all of you, to help us, each other, to go beyond these modes of material nature. And that's a very important point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning here, because we see, if you look at Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was such a great saintly person, who was such a great kshatriya, who had such close association of Sri Krishna. We see in his case that how when he got everything, when he got the throne, he went into real depression. His heart was so soft that he did not, he felt so sad that he said, this is due to me that all this has happened. Just understand his conception of I, what he had. His I was like, I have done this. I have done this. All these people have died because of me. All these women are now widowed because of me. And he couldn't rule. But he couldn't even hear Krishna preaching to him. But who preached to him? Bhishma Dev, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Vina. He who was devoid of any bhakti or mukti, Bhishma Dev guided him to please continue your seva, what you have to do. Arjuna, we saw that he also temporarily got in the modes and didn't want to fight. Dhruva Maharaj, after he even had darshan of Krishna, And then he went back to his duties of ruling. We hear from the Bhagavatam that his brother Uttama went out hunting and he was killed by a yaksha. And this concept of I, me, and mine, this is my brother, and how dare this yaksha kill my brother. And he went so bizarre, he was so affected by that, that he went around killing all the yakshas left and right. He really went like, yeah. Sometimes anger can possess you, this aspect of like, I, me, and mine. So eventually his grandfather, Swayambhu Manu, came and said, hey, listen, Dhruva, please stop this. You're a devotee. You shouldn't be acting like that. Please stop acting like that. And so that's when Dhruva heard him. Somebody else had to come and tell him. He lost it. But somebody else. So we have to be open. If we have our sangha of devotees, And we're open to hearing others who will guide us and tell us that, okay, Madhumati, this is a little too much. You know, take it easy. Take a step back. Don't get too attached. This is what we needed.
We need it.
And the only way we can take advantage of that is if we keep ourselves open. We have to keep ourselves open, and the only way we can keep ourselves open is if we have good friendship, intimate friendship. We have close friendship that we can inquire from, and we can help others, and others can help us. I think this is the way that we can go beyond these modes. We can't really get rid of modes, get rid of the modes and think, oh, I won't act, and in that way the modes will not act upon me. No. Arjun had that idea. So if we do think, don't worry, Arjun also had that idea. Maybe I won't act, I will stay by myself. The modes, no. Krishna says, kashtishanam api na jatu na tishtati akarma kut. The fact is that not for a moment can we not act. And so if not for a moment, we are helpless. Krishna so many times in the Bhagavad Gita uses the word avasha. Helpless. We're helplessly acting. You know that nice picture? I always like the painting of somebody, is it Maya Devi? I don't know who, but they have like, we're like puppets. On what book is that? Three modes of material nature. Yes. And they're the puppets. Yeah, so we're like puppets. We're helplessly acting here and there, affected by the modes of material nature. And so this is our situation, this is our life. But our acharyas are telling us how we can go beyond this. One concept is certainly, I think, Krishna himself says that we have to try to come to the mode of goodness. And through goodness we can come to pure goodness. But sometimes, some of us just cannot do that. We cannot come to the mode of goodness. The younger brother saying me, I can't just come to the mode of goodness. But the thing is that, and maybe we can have a discussion about that, but is it so important to come in the mode of goodness? Although Krishna says that, but then Krishna also says, by performing bhakti yoga, we can go beyond the modes. I mean, if you look at Lord Brahma, Brahma was, after he meditated, he was told to create. What does creation, to create something. What kind of mode does it generally require? Passion. And Brahma was a little concerned that he would get in the mode of passion, and along with the passion, what comes along with the mode of passion? Ignorance, yes. But you're right, Pranga Vandar Prabhu. But how does that manifest? Pride. But all those answers are correct. I guess it's not fair to ask that question. In my mind, the word was pride. And Lord Brahma said that, I'll become proud. And we have seen that. In our movement. we become, we create, and pride comes in, and then we don't want to hear anybody, because I have done this or I have created this, and so then we become proud, and then we become attached, etc. But does that mean that we don't create? Does that mean no? Brahma was concerned that you asked me to create, and I'll become proud. Please help me, what should I do? And what did Krishna say to Lord Brahma? No, if you create, but if you remember me and create. He told Arjuna the same thing. Remember me and fight. So maybe we can't come to the level of mode of goodness. But we can't perform bhakti And remember, and be conscious as we're performing our bhakti yoga. I know Madhava Mahaprabhu always says, obeisances. Think when you're offering obeisances. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Think when you're offering obeisances. It's important to be conscious. Or Nitha Lila was saying yesterday, when she's chanting around, to her that's important, because if she doesn't become conscious of how she's chanting around, then it affects her all day. So the process is bhakti. That is the process. Prabhupada says in one of the purpose, I forget for which bhajan, maybe it's Nithai Pada Kamala, I'm not too sure. But one of those long purpose he has written for a few bhajans, he says, don't think that this chanting and dancing will not work. He said, it will. I mean, you can see, today, you know, Amala Harina was leading such a nice kirtan. Do you think that this chanting will not work? Do you think the dancing will not work? Do you think that Amala Harina will work? Do you think it will not work? It will work. And that's why you chant. It does work. So we don't have to invent anything. We just have to be conscious of what we're doing. Conscious that, oh, I'm making these garlands for, you know, Chotarade Shyam. To be conscious. Oh, I'm sitting down and hearing class today. Let me hear what the speaker is saying. Or the person who's giving class, let me say something that is victorious for myself and for others. If we are conscious of what we're doing, just the fact we are conscious that will help us to eventually become Krishna conscious or devotee, bhakti, will transform into bhakti. So if you're consciously performing the activities that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the activities, the path that our acharyas has laid down for us, if we associate with all the Vaishnavas here, good association, then we will be able to transcend to the transcend these modes of material nature. I was thinking about how devotees help us. I think it was 30 years ago that Ragat Mahaprabhu had given this present to us. Beautiful, she had written this herself, calligraphy. By Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song in English. Whatever I am, whatever I possess, I offer at your lotus feet. And we have that in our breakfast area for the last 30 years, and somehow how I'm sitting faces me. And when I look at it, and I now and then look at it, you know, it just becomes part of your wall, so you don't notice it, you know. But now and then you become conscious of what's there. That is the essence. That is the essence. In the last verse, there's a sweeter part that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. What is the last verse? Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Kaveshna Kana Radha Natha Tuhu Amara. So in the first verse he's saying, I offer everything to you, O Krishna. In the last verse he says, you are mine. So it goes to a higher platform. This is, you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine. The previous verse to that, he's saying, Guru, Pati, you're everything to me. Janaka, Janani, you're my father, you're my mother, you're my guru, you're my pati, you're my lover, everything, you're mine. And I am yours. It's just like a complete song, a complete bhajan from the start to the very highest that Krishna, your mind. So this is our simple process of bhakti yoga. This is how we can go beyond the modes of material nature. This is how, like the commentators are saying that ultimately this is how we can go beyond. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. My only possession is loving service to the Lord. So this is what I have to say today. If you please share your realizations, comments, questions, anything. Hare Krishna. Yes, super comfortable.
Very good. Very nice. So we find that the modes assistive our national system to function properly. Kshatriya, Brahman, and so forth. But in the absence of a structured society like the Varnashram system, then what would the mode do to that society? Can you comment on it?
Well, I think this is something we're seeing what happens in the absence of a proper Varnashram system. Actually, that was Arjuna's concern. He said that You're engaging in this fight, and we'll be killing everybody, and what will happen? The women will have no husbands, and so they'll be Varnasankha. That was his concern. So answer to your question is, it's obvious, we can just see around in this mature world what's happening. That's the result.
Yeah.
I don't need to describe it, but you see it all around in your world. That's the consequence of not having a Varnashram system. And so, as devotees, we practice bhakti yoga, and I think, again, by practicing bhakti yoga, part of practicing bhakti yoga is understanding Srila Prabhupada's books and understanding how to implement it. And in one sense, Prabhupada says all these four varnas are there, it's a natural thing. But how we can engage in our natural propensity, that's difficult. It's difficult, just the way the mature world is at this stage, it's very difficult to implement that. But we can be conscious, try to see each individually, how, if I have this particular nature, sometimes it's hard to even know what is my nature. If I think about myself, well, kind of like this, I like to serve, I like to assist. So that's the nature of a Shudra. But then I like to study, and I like to do certain aspects of that. So it's like a little brahminical, so it's a mixture of everything, a little passion there, it's hard. I don't know if any one of you can figure out what kind of varna you are in. I don't know. Do you know, Tibetan, what kind of varna you are in? No. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's hard. So trying to establish varnashram is not an easy thing. Because we come out, we come from such a, you know, we're products of this 21st century, you know? I mean, Chan Hare Krishna. Yes, Stevie, yes, you have the answer. I know you have the answer.
Look.
Yes.
All right. So stop me if I get too far.
I definitely will, don't worry.
I heard that part.
Sometimes when we talk about they do consider themselves external to self. The proper religious condition, conditioned consciousness. So then we have to do something about that. But on another level, you know, we come into conditional life based on desires, and it seems our interaction with the modes is in some part due to some kind of desire we have to find a separate reality. which then brings. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is sometimes when we talk about we got to do things about these modes, it reminds me of like some tortured Calvinist, you know, Puritan, wondering if they're going to be saved or not. You know, so that exercise is there, definitely. But then, you know, if you take up the process of Bhakti Yoga, it's joyful to form and purifies the heart. And as the heart becomes purified, then it. Those ropes attached to the modes become slackers. You know, I mean, there is the intellectual aspect. And it was a thought process.
Thank you. No, I want to thank you for sharing that. You said it. You confirmed what I said, so I feel good that I didn't say anything wrong here. So. Yes, Pastor. Yes,
I was going to go back a little bit. Where this religion started, When you think of Vrindavan, when Mother Yashoda is playing to Narayan in the end of one small pastime where Krishna was exhibiting eight darts and the whole unlimited universe is outside. But one of our prayers was that, oh my Lord, please remove this illusion that I am wife of Ananda Baba, my husband is ruling. So it looks like they are Kshatriya Vaishya, that mentality. But Krishna did not like that at Giba. Krishna actually called her, Maya, Maya, Mother, Mother. And then she forgot everything. Sanatana Goswami writes that those designations that Nanda Maharaj is a king of Rajadhar, it is pure form. His Nanda Maharaj is made of that. But when I think I'm a Kshatriya in the conditional life, I'm not made of that. That's a big difference. The Doiva Varnashram versus the Asurik Varnashram or Sadharani Varnashram. The four types of Varnashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jaiva Dharma, the moment the soul displays the apathy to devotional service, then automatically a certain conception of Lord Shiva, consciousness, appeared there to tie the soul with this dead matter. And that nut is called false ego, the birthplace of false ego. And Prabhupada writes, false ego is a product of material world, but it is not in the material world, neither in spiritual world, it's in between. Material and spiritual. So when the soul is bound with that nut, the conscious being is the inert matter. That time, three modes started reflecting. How? The soul displayed the apathy to devotional service, then automatically got attracted by the allure activities of the material nature. Then three modes appear. Then Shiva has a rightful ownership and joy of the material nature. There's nothing wrong. He can enjoy as much as he wants. Because he is the master of this material world. Krishna put him in like that. That consciousness that I can enjoy the material world entered into me or the living entity. From that moment, the three modes reflect in the mind where the soul acts as aham mameti. But aham mameti is also in Vrindavan. So unless we have a relationship like you made, you are singing that song, very sweet, thank you, you made it very complete. That when our relationship with the Lord is revived, then this aham mameti will disappear. The material conception. But it is also eternal. Aham mameti is not possible. Because soul is also ego. Pure ego is also eternal. It will never go away. So my point is that these three modes, in conditioned life, it's polluted and it's bad. And that, but if you look at from another angle, right now I'm looking at the tree. To look at the tree, I need the rajagun help of my eyes. My eyes is a product of rajagun. Tree is a product of tamogun. And to see the perceiving conception is sattva. Who has who is free in this world without the Trimurti?
Yeah.
No good. So when we engage the three modes, now one part of Prabhupada writes, the Maya has a two conceptions. One is inert matter and one is person. Maya is a Durga Devi, Maya is also matter, that matter, which is not a conscience. So it's both. So if I see an apple or banana, if I see a ripened part, that is sattva guna. If I see that it is not fully ripened, it's rajoguna. If I see it's over ripened, it's tamoguna. Everything is saturated in this world with these three modes.
We're not meant to get rid of it. We're supposed to transcend it by changing. Like you're saying, the root cause is that the false ego thinking, I, it's for me, I'm to enjoy. But we transform that to Krishna. And for everything is for Krishna. And that's how we can go beyond, not negate, but go beyond the modes of material nature.
That's Bhagavad Gita 4.24. That if I offer that apple, then three modes disappear instantly.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Yamaraj, last one.
Thank you, Mother, for your excellent class.
Thank you.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. In terms of when you were speaking about bhakti. responding to Hanukkah Bindas about how we look at things and things like that. One of our big problems that we have as conditioned souls is we look at things and we're thinking, this tree is mine, so I'll cut it down and make some paper, or this animal is, this looks good, so I'll kill it, try to eat it. And so anyway, when we change our perception, and I think the only way we can do it is, like you were right, so right, 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 right
Jeff.
Nice class. Your brother Chester.